I'm here today at the Family Health Center, also known as the Carolina Montoya Clinic. And I'm here with Ann Mihalik, president of the Amigos Board, which supports the center, and Tim Penniston, family nurse practitioner who is serving the clinic 5 days a week and has been since September. Welcome, Ann and Tim.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for making this time today to talk about what's happening here at the Family Health Center. And I'm just interested in knowing more about yourself and what services you're providing here at the clinic.
Okay. Well, as far as myself, I just recently moved here from Wyoming, so I'm enjoying the warm weather. I've been a nurse practitioner for about 9 years now. As far as the services we provide at the clinic, we're pretty much a full-range family health clinic. I mean, we see children of all ages, adults of all ages. We do immunizations. We do childhood immunizations. We do women's health care. We can do any kind of routine chronic illnesses, high blood pressure, diabetes, that sort of thing. We have full laboratory services. We do send our labs out, so there's usually a day turnaround time, but it's very good to have that on site. We can handle minor emergencies. We can do splinting if it's just a minor fracture of a limb or something like that. We can do stitches. So I mean, there's not much that we don't do. I mean, there's a lot here,
yeah.
a lot of things, and we are also attached with the Mariposa Community Health Center. So, if we need X-ray services or those sorts of things, we can definitely order them and have them done that day or even the next day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there was a time we had a transition. When we have not had the clinic fully staffed, and it sounds like what you're saying is that now the clinic is fully staffed 5 days a week.
Yes, it is.
And the same level of service that was here prior to the transition time.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us, what is a family nurse practitioner? What kind of degree is that, and how's that different than some other medical degrees?
Okay, I guess if you had to rank degrees, a nurse practitioner, I have a master's degree in nursing, and then I have graduate training as a nurse practitioner. Which gives me about 7 years of education altogether. So I guess I have more education than a regular physician assistant, but I have less than a full-fledged physician. Before I became a nurse practitioner, I also worked as an intensive care nurse. So I have a lot of different experience. And like I said, I've been an NP for about 9 years now. I've done urgent care, which is kind of a walk-in, patch-up service. I've done family practice, which is primarily what the clinic here is set up to do, which a lot of things that you see are mostly just type of chronic illnesses, a lot of laboratory services, that sort of thing. I've worked at a couple of prisons, and youth prisons or detention centers, mm-hmm. as they're called some places. I've worked in mental health.
Oh, that's great.
So there's not much I haven't seen or done at one time. I guess I don't really have any serious specialty area, but I know a little bit about everything.
And that seems so important for a community as small as this that is 20 minutes from a hospital in Nogales and an hour, well, by helicopter less, but, you know, quite a ways from a hospital in Tucson. So
right.
Having your wide range of experience is a real asset to the community.
And that's a good point to mention. I mean, even though this is a fairly rural area, I mean, there are some very serious specialty services available, you know, just an hour up the road. So definitely if there's something that we can't handle here, we can point you in the right direction or send you there, either one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where did you get your training?
You know, I went to school at a place called Albany State University. It's in Georgia. And it's just a small university. And it's had a very successful family nurse practitioner program for many, many years. And I don't know what else to say about that exactly. I did most of my training in Georgia, most of it in rural communities. Georgia, like many states, you know, has a lot of areas where they have small towns, mostly agricultural in those areas, that don't have any medical services available. And then you're right. I mean, you can drive 2 or 3 hours up the road and, you know, find a hospital, but, you know, you might not have a car or, you know, you might not have 2 or 3 hours.
And did you move from Gillette, Wyoming to Patagonia for the purpose of being here at this clinic?
Yes. Yes. The Mariposa Community Health Center was recruiting, and I guess they've been recruiting for a while. You know, I was looking for a nice place to practice, and it just kind of worked out. So I moved down early September, and then have just been in the kind of process of buying a house and settling in since then. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. And will you be living in the Patagonia area or nearby? Or?
Well, I live in Rio Rico, actually. Mm-hmm. But it's only 30 minutes up the road, so not too far.
All right. And Anne, you mentioned that you had some information about nurse practitioners in Arizona.
Well, I thought our audience might find it interesting, and also another reason we should be so delighted to have Tim here, because a lot of people don't realize that what's happened in medicine is we have a great shortage of primary care physicians. Arizona, as a matter of fact, Santa Cruz County is like number 2 in the bottom of the state of having the least amount of primary care physicians. And what's happened in the last, say, 20, 30 years, it's changed to where your nurse practitioners and physician assistants are coming into that role as your family practice, your general practitioners, particularly in a rural setting like this. It's very hard to recruit, and the docs that want to make the better bucks and pay for med school and all that are going on to specializing in other things. So we're very fortunate to have Tim here with his broad range of skills. Also, you'll be happy to know that Arizona is one of 6 states in which nurse practitioners can diagnose, treat, and prescribe autonomously without a physician overseeing them. Now, we're lucky here. We have plenty of backup from Mariposa should Tim need to, you know, get some extra help or advice on something. And Molly is here Mondays and Wednesdays.
Referring to Dr. Molly Anderson.
Mm-hmm. And so we have all of that great stuff going on here. But the number of nurse practitioners has almost doubled in the last decade in the state of Arizona and really across the nation. And it just shows you where the medical trend is. So I just want to reassure our community that a nurse practitioner is very much primary care. You are covered. They know what to do. They're well-trained. And they also, I find, my experience has been as nurse practitioners, their training tends to guide them to listen a little longer, spend a little more time, you know, and hopefully our insurance HMOs and things are shifting to where they can have more time with the patients. But that is really a nice thing. And then you've got your specialized docs that, you know, they're going to focus on other stuff. But very lucky to have this here.
I know personally, I really appreciate having a medical provider spend a little bit of time and, you know, really ask the questions. And Tim, do you have any comments that you'd like to make on that point that Anne made about how that might be a little more possible in this situation?
What exactly?
Having time to spend with the patient, to really listen to what the patient is concerned about.
Well, that's a good point. And I guess that's something that's been kind of neglected medically for a long time. I guess anything that you actually do for profession, you think that everybody understands what you're talking about sometimes. And so, it's important to take time with the patients and address their needs and their questions, and not just kind of ramble off a diagnosis and say, here, you need to take this, but actually get into reasoning why and that sort of thing. And we actually have quite a few resources for education available to us. And some things you can't fully address in the office. Like if somebody comes on into the office, and I will tell you that sometimes just during physicals you find things. Like you might diagnose somebody with onset of diabetes or something like that. Usually what I'll do in that situation is I will tell them what the problem is, that we need to do this sort of treatment, and kind of broadly go over some things. And then I'll usually do an actual referral for them to sit down with a diabetes counselor or somebody that can really take the time necessary to explain an illness, because that's very important. As a healthcare provider, I am not totally responsible for somebody's health. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I would really like to point out. I mean, a lot of people think that, you know. What it is, it's more of a partnership. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes in with a problem. You know what? I can offer advice. I can offer treatment. I cannot force people to take medication. I cannot force people to do labs and that sort of thing. So I'm here as a resource. I'm here to help, and I will help in many ways as I can. But, you know, I also understand that people are individuals, and you have your own freedom of choice to do things. And, you know, I certainly don't mind anybody actually getting a second opinion on something, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, many important things in your life, whether you're buying a house or doing some sort of, financial turnover for your retirement or something like that. You don't just jump into that, you know. You get several different opinions unless you're an actual expert in that area yourself, and then you make an educated choice. So,
well, it sounds like you're very connected in with the kinds of choices that people can make, and supportive of that. And I'm wondering about your connection with Mariposa. Could you describe what that is in terms of people's choice, or administratively? How do you relate to what's happening at Mariposa in Nogales?
Well, Mariposa is directly, you know, connected with the clinic. And I guess, you know, my boss and everything is there, Dr. Padeda. And then they, like I said, they have a lot of resources that they make available to the clinic here. Not just x-rays and stuff like that, but like I said, a lot of the educational programs. They have some wonderful programs for mammography, mm-hmm. And women's health.
Well, women's health check, right. Excellent program.
A lot of those things are covered by federal grants, which the clinic is very good about writing up. So a lot of services that, you know, somebody might not actually be normally able to afford or something like that, we can get paid for by, you know, free. And they also write the grants and stuff that cover the childhood immunizations and stuff. So all of our vaccines and stuff come from Mariposa.
Okay, when you... Oh, I'm sorry.
I just like to ask you, it used to be that the immunizations were free. Is that still true here?
Yes.
So everyone listen up. Free immunizations for your children. Don't let that stop you from coming in.
And you mentioned the Women's Health Program, and I thought listeners might be interested in hearing more about what is that, how to access that.
Well, just like anything, I mean, you'd have to actually apply with Mariposa for it. And to say that, too, they also have a sliding scale for just general medical visits as well.
Yes.
You know, and it doesn't take long to fill out the paperwork. But the women's health stuff is your mammograms, your PAPs, your breast exams. That can all be covered by the clinic. And even referrals for treatment. If, let's say, for an example, you come in and you have a breast mass, okay? The follow-up visits for that are actually also covered. They're a surgeon. I'm not exactly sure who does the follow-up, but they have a person at Mariposa that is definitely in charge of that. And so abnormal mammograms are followed up by ultrasounds and surgical referrals.
And when you say covered, when you say that that service is covered by the clinic, what do you mean by the word covered?
Well, like I said, depending on the program, you actually have to apply for it. But if you don't have the money to normally pay for those services, they can, you know, manage that for you.
Okay.
I am able to speak from firsthand experience, starting with the mammogram, through the whole process, going back for the ultrasound, down to seeing the surgeon in Tucson, having the surgery, and having the follow-up. I've been through the process. It was smooth sailing the whole way. Everyone was very helpful and efficient. Very impressed with how that went. And yes, it was covered by Well Women's Health Check, I'm grateful to say.
That's so wonderful.
And I'm so here to tell the tale.
And so did you access that through this clinic or
through Mariposa?
Okay.
Yes, and of course we're an affiliate of Mariposa, so as Tim has already pointed out, any of the services they have at the clinic in Nogales, we can go and utilize those services. X-rays, for example, you can get a referral here. You could go in the same day, the next day, walk in and get your X-ray in and out like that. And so it's actually, the system has gotten much more efficient in these last few years. And I'm really, you know, encourage everyone to remember that not only here in Patagonia, you're not limited by that. This can get you started. This is the primary care center, and Tim or Molly can refer you out for those other specialty situations that you might need.
Okay, well, I think it's really important for people in the community to realize that there are services here that even if they may be concerned, they may not have the funds to pay for the services, that you mentioned a sliding scale, for instance,
right,
that it mm-hmm. sounds like the first step is for people to be willing to come in and talk with you. Is
right.
that?
And to apply for what is called the Mariposa Health Plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, you know, if somebody comes in, they can definitely talk to Sharon. She's our office manager here, and she can kind of get the paperwork started and that sort of thing. And actually, you know what, just our straight fees are very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I certainly, you know, if you had a, you know, and I'm more than willing to work with people, you know, on that sort of thing. So any way we can help, you know, we will.
We don't turn anyone away, in other words. That's
right.
been the history of this clinic from the beginning. No one has ever turned away.
Because, I mean, we're definitely here for the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is, in the days of large corporate entities controlling healthcare, I just have to say it's refreshing to hear the things that the two of you are saying. It just sounds very different than what I hear on the national news
mm-hmm.
sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And a real important resource for the community. Are there other programs that are provided out of this clinic building that people in the community may want to know about?
Actually, several. I mean, we have a mental health counselor that comes down a couple of times a month. And a lot of that depends on his patient load, so he schedules his own patients. But Frank Bajarho, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I'm still learning a lot of my pronunciations.
Well, I'll intervene on that. It's actually Frank Bejarano.
Bejarano.
And
okay.
I do believe you need a referral to see him.
You do.
But he does come here, which is just fantastic. Again, another great mm-hmm. service.
And referrals are fairly easy to get as far as if there's a need, you know, I don't have any problem referring mm-hmm. to Frank. We have Ross, which is a registered nurse. She comes down at least once a week, and she does our Coumadin clinic here.
I couldn't understand that.
Coumadin. Yes, Coumadin is a blood thinner that a lot of people take if they have a chronic condition that causes their blood to clot. such as atrial fibrillation, if they had a stroke in the past sometimes, if they have had deep vein thrombosis or a pulmonary embolus, and you don't actually have to understand what all that means, but basically sometimes when a clot forms, if it lodges in the lung, it gives you what they call a pulmonary embolus, which you can breathe, but you won't transfer any oxygen to your blood, and it can be fatal a lot of times. And then the stroke, you know, if you have a clot that forms in the brain. So a lot of people take Coumadin, which has to be monitored on a regular basis. Sometimes it's weekly, sometimes it's monthly.
And so you said you have someone who comes here to do that monitoring?
Yes, and it's normally just a finger prick. Collects a little bit of blood and checks the what they call the PT and the iron R, which are just kind of a baseline for the blood clotting for that particular drug. And it saves people time from driving up to Tucson and that sort of thing. And, you know, some people stay on it a little while and some people have to be on it all their lives. Mm-hmm. What else?
Other programs?
Programs. We do well child checks for the state.
Is that a free program?
I'm fairly sure it is, but I don't. Normally, it's through the access programs of the insurance.
Sounds like it would be then. Yeah.
So they require, you know, checks periodically, age assessments, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
the WIC program.
Yeah, I was going to ask about women, infants, and children. Is that still?
You know, the WIC program is still going on. Mainly that's run out of Nogales, I believe.
Okay.
But, I mean, definitely it could be accessed through the clinic here.
I recently spoke with Jim Weldon, who is the CEO of Mariposa, and he was telling me that they have started a new outreach program, and they really want to focus on Patagonia. And they were talking about doing some things like even having a walking club based out of the clinic and start getting our community to use this for multiple services, which is why we call it a health center and not just a clinic, because it's actually both. So I know there's renewed interest from the Mariposa end of doing more outreach down here and additional programs. So maybe we'll get WIC back down here and a few other things.
Definitely. I think if there was a need and the program is accessible at Mariposa, it could be done out of the clinic here.
Okay. And we're saying Mariposa, but let's give the full name of the entity. It's
Mariposa Community Health Center.
And is that a nonprofit organization?
It is, actually. It started basically as a health department, from what I understand.
It did, yes, way back when.
And it has kind of grown. They have a full set of dentists. They have an OBGYN department. They have a pediatrics department. They have the main building, which normally does just adults and adult care. It's a fairly big operation.
It's also been nationally recognized for, like, their women's health and other programs there. It's really an exemplary clinic.
And what is the service area of Mariposa?
It's based on the county area because, I mean, being a public entity source, I'm not exactly sure where it stops as far as its line goes. Because, I mean, I just work down here.
Santa Cruz County. I know they've recently opened an affiliate, a satellite like ours, over in Rio Rico that's fully staffed. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the clinic in Nogales continues to grow. And then our little clinic here, and with the changes in population and whatnot, seems to be growing as well. So basically, Santa Cruz County.
So the headquarters is right there in Nogales.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
And let's talk about a little bit about your role with the Family Health Center. And you are the president of the Amigos Board. And tell us about the Amigos.
Well, I'm going to give you just a little history of the clinic first, because that will segue into how our Amigos started. We had our humble beginnings back in the early 1970s, and at that time, there's what we called health manpower shortage area. We were recognized as a HMSA, and we were given a little tiny trailer, and the donated this land to be used for this.
This land right here where the clinic
exists
okay.
now. Mm-hmm. And we had a nurse practitioner for about a year. And then National Health Service Corps provided us with Joanne Barron, also a nurse practitioner, who came in and with her enthusiasm, she really built the clientele up to where we actually needed more room. She developed a relationship with Congressman Jim McNulty. They came up with a $300,000 grant with the town of Patagonia to provide for this beautiful building. And in 1985, we opened our doors here.
When you say we, the Amigos?
Amigos opened? Did not exist at that time. Okay. At that time, we were a private nonprofit. And I say we, meaning community members like Margaret Bryant and Don Winnig, who helped raise interest at that time and raise some money to get this all going, and many other town members, I'm sorry not to suggest. But when that developed and we were able to open our doors, we were basically a private nonprofit. We were not an affiliate at Mariposa at that time. And at that time, our board of directors was 100% involved with hiring, firing, wages, all of that with the clinic here. Well, as time went on, we went through a couple different providers.
And providers, you mean medical providers,
nurse practitioners, and doctors, and a few PAs in there. So like many rural health clinics, I will add, it's hard to keep one open, especially a nonprofit. So it's really amazing that we were able to keep providers through our history of ups and downs. And eventually Drs. Hott and Cohen came in. And when they came in, they wanted to practice medicine and really didn't want to deal with the administrative part of running a health center. So it was at that time it coincided with changes in the healthcare, rural health management, especially HMOs and all that. And at this time, it was changing the way things were being handled and practiced. And so it made sense at that time for us. The feds were encouraging small clinics like this to become affiliates or satellites of larger healthcare. You had more leverage for funding and this kind of thing. So it was at that time that Drs. Hott and Cohen developed a relationship with Mariposa, and the board relinquished its duties at that time as far as hiring, firing, wages, and all that. So Mariposa pays the wages here and handles the insurance and administrates all the employees here. Amigos came in because we had a fund donated that was to help support the maintenance of the building, which the town has generously provided for the town, this land, and basically owns the building. But like many things here in Patagonia, the town has its hands full and doesn't have the money to be taking care of this too, yet wanted to help in its own way to be sure we had this in the community. So they provide the building. What Amigos does is we help support the maintenance of the building, as well as we try to help support the quality services. So, for example, in recent years, we needed a new roof. We did the fundraising. We raised the new roof. We write grants. We accept donations, which I can tell you more about later. But we do see that the building is in good shape, and whether it's paint, electrical, you name it, anything, we're ready to jump in. We have provided backup generators. We're actually hoping in the future to have a solar energy system here as well. So we're looking at more energy efficiency than we have already. We're always looking at how can this be more efficient. We now have computerized medical records, which was kind of a difficult process to get this all implemented. But overall, it's going to make for more efficiency, less cost, and all that, which we all want to see in the overall healthcare system.
Okay, so I just want to make sure I understand. So you said that the town owns the land.
Yes.
And the town owns the building.
Yes.
And that was funded by grant money. The original construction of the building.
Yes.
But then the Amigos is the entity that works to maintain the building and all of these other things that support what happens here.
Exactly.
At the clinic.
We've also written grants and provided funding for things like a fetal Doppler. If we find out Tim or Molly need a piece of equipment, we welcome them to let us know, and we'll write a grant or we'll dig into our fund and try to buy that piece of equipment. We've been known to collaborate with Mariposa, say 50-50, on some of the bigger, more expensive items. But we're really here to kind of catch any cracks in the mm-hmm. system where there might be a need for help. And then just little things like this. We want to be sure that the community knows we're a bit of a PR group for the clinic and letting people know. That's why we call ourselves Amigos. We're friends of the clinic. And we also welcome others of you to join us.
All right. Well, speaking of PR and welcome, you mentioned that you have an event coming up.
We do have an event. We are inviting the public to join us for free music and Mexican food at the Home Plate, and that's going to be Friday, February 5th from 6 to 8 p.m., and we invite you to help meet and greet Tim Peniston. And we want to make him feel welcome here in our community, and we're hoping he's going to be with us a long time. We've worked very long and hard trying to find a full-time provider, and I can't express enough how important and wonderful it is to have this clinic and to have a full-time provider. We're very, very fortunate. Small clinics like this are closing all across the country. And again, you know, primary care has really changed, and we're just very lucky to have you, Tim. So we want everyone to come out and join us. And by the way, it's going to be, you know, good old Patagonia food. It's going to be beans and rice and green chili, meat, and chicken, and a little something for everybody, and some good music from an acoustic version of Haywire. So we hope everyone will come and join us. Again, that is Friday, February 5th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Home Plate Restaurant.
And when you say acoustic Haywire, can you give us a little more information about
that?
Well,
we all love our local bands, and one of our board members happens to be a member of Haywire. So when we were planning the event, we said, "Hey, you know, what are you going to do for us here?" And they generously are offering their time, but because we want to have time for people to meet and talk with Tim and get to know him a little bit, we felt it was important that it wasn't the full-on electric band that you know, we might be dancing and not talking. So they will be providing some wonderful music. They've done it before, and I think actually this version they refer to as Half a Hog, but we didn't know that everyone knew what we were talking about. Anyway, please come join us for all of it. We just also want to celebrate that we have this wonderful, wonderful clinic and Dr. Molly Anderson and Tim Peniston.
All right. And you mentioned earlier in our discussion that there are a variety of ways that people can support the clinic. And obviously coming out to this is one, but what are some others?
Well, anytime you're welcome to come by the clinic and drop a donation, and you can make that check out to Amigos, A-M-I-G-O-S. And that goes, again, to support the services of the building and equipment and that kind of thing. We are a nonprofit 501c3. Your donation is tax deductible to the full extent of the law. We also have a fund with the Regional Community Foundation, which is an affiliate of Arizona Community Foundation. And that is a fund that is building and growing money that in perpetuity, meaning in the future, will continue to provide and grow for this clinic. So when I'm long gone, that fund should still be growing, and so that's another great way to give. You may also give by volunteering time. We always welcome new board members. I personally have been on the board for, I think, about 12 years, and hey, somebody want to take my place? And so we have different needs, and we do welcome that. You may call me at 394-2013. Again, 394-2013. And if you would like to help support the clinic in any of the ways I just mentioned.
And I think it's also really important to mention your family connection here with the clinic. And Carolina Montoya was a relative of yours.
She is a relative of mine, long since passed, commonly known as Mama Carey. She was one of the first rural health nurses in the state of Arizona, and I have a history of nurses in my family. And my family settled in Patagonia in the 1800s, so Mama Carey was here, and she was the first practitioner in this area that went out and as far as Nogales and even Ajo and covered the San Rafael Valley and Elgin, Sonoyta, Patagonia in her old jalopy and gave immunizations and delivered babies and whatever she could provide at the time. So I have a special interest in healthcare probably because of that. She even influenced me to be a shiatsu practitioner, which is another story. But we do name the clinic the Patagonia Catalina Montoya Clinic in honor of her and all the health providers in the past. Dr. Mock was here. As a matter of fact, when he was about to retire was when we decided to, there was a need to build a health clinic here. So we've had some other wonderful pioneers in the background. But that's my original connection, and also that I love Patagonia, and I'm a healthcare provider myself, and I see the needs in the community, and I think it's really beautiful that we have our clinic, and even if one were not to use our clinic, maybe you have a doc you've seen for years in Tucson, that kind of thing, I like to remind people, though, that it is a life-saving center as well, and should you or one of your guests or even a stranger passing through town, we're in trouble because of our clinic and our wonderful EMTs, I might add. We do have health-saving care here. And so, you know, it's another good reason to provide for our clinic because when it's, you know, we can always say, well, it never happened to me. But, you know, it does, or to someone you love. And that's the day you say, wow. Mm-hmm. So thankful we have this wonderful little clinic. So that's another motivation for me to see it continue. And knowing the struggles that we have today in the healthcare and all of that, I think that, you know, we're just, again, very fortunate to have this center to help provide that.
Yes, very much so. Well, I've learned a lot today from listening to both of you, and I was wondering if either of you have anything that's come to mind while we've been talking that you would like to say before we close? Tim, do you have?
I think it's important that everyone know that our clinic hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's Monday through Friday. Dr. Molly Anderson is here Mondays and Wednesdays, and Tim Peniston is here Monday through Friday. So we now have full-time coverage. Drop-ins are welcome, although, you know, it does pay to make an appointment and all that, but you are welcome to walk in. And this is a little change in policy that we haven't seen because of the transition we've been and the overload that Molly's had to carry. And I also would like to just put a thank you out to Dr. Anderson because she's been on our staff for 15 years consistently. And a lot of people have come and gone. And again, with this shortage of primary care physicians, we're just very lucky that she's stuck by us this whole time. I really think without her, we might not have lasted this long. And so everyone come out and help welcome Tim and give a thank you to Molly and just come support our clinic and have a nice free warm meal on a cold night.
Okay. Yeah, let's remind people about these details one more time.
Okay, the event is February 5th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Home Plate Restaurant. Free Mexican food, music, and our clinic hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. 5 days a week. You may make an appointment at 394-2262. And once again, if you'd like to support in any way, please feel free to call me. My name is Anne, 394-2013.
Well, Anne and Tim, thank you so much for being with us today to give us all this information about changes and good new things happening at the clinic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.